What's up, Rundown Nation? I'm Woj.
I'm Walt.
And this is the College Football Rundown with Woj and Wal. Wal, tell us a little bit about ourselves before we get going on this in this first episode of week one here.
College Football Rundown, baby. So happy to be back. So happy to be back, Woj. I'm happy, too, if we got some new people that haven't followed us in the past, have found us now, and are in the light. Let me tell you, we talk about college football. That's what we do. If we had to put it in one line, Woj, it would just be college football. They don't even need more words than the two because we break down betting as far as spreads, money line, totals, over under, what to expect on the week in that regard. That's my category right over here, Woj, right? Yeah, that's where the wall shines, no?
That is where the wall shines. You forgot to leave out, though, where we're diehard Iowa Hawkeye fans. But we're not biased, and we do talk about everybody. But this week, Wal, I can guarantee we're going to be talking a little Iowa Hawkeyes to start the season off, correct?
Well, I'm a bit impartial, Woj. I keep it, you know, I keep it real, Woj. I never ramp up our Hawkeyes too much. I mean, they're going to win by 50 this week, but we try to keep it pretty, you know, low key as far as being impartial. But absolutely, we're Iowa Hawkeye fans. We're proud to admit that. We are Big Ten fans too in that regard. But Woj, not only do we talk about the betting, not only do we talk about Iowa football, we talk about a little bit of DFS, a little bit of DraftKings, daily fantasy football. That's a little bit more of your wheelhouse, right?
Yeah, we got our DraftKings League. It's a free league. You can get on DraftKings, create an account, which is free as well, and get into our league, and it's free. We get to probably do the main slate every week with our listeners, and we talk about the teams at the beginning of the next week, which we'll do right now. Walrus 67 won our week zero practice. Scoring 112.34, won by inches, well, inches, maybe millimeters. I came in second at 111.84 in LW886 and third with 110.52. So real tight race there for the top three. And I know we talked about Will Shepard last week while he was 80% owned, and then Caleb Williams, not a surprise, 100% owned, because he's going to score points. Oof. He was the highest guy on the list there, but the guy's going to score points. You got to have him on your team, right? Like, it was a low scoring week. We knew that going in, and Caleb Williams was going to get it done. But hey, week one starts our year long contest. We got two of them. We take your best 8 weeks throughout the season of your placement, and we average it together, and then that's your number. We'll take the lowest number for that for the win, and then we take your 8 weeks, best 8 weeks out of any, yeah, I mean, you can pick and choose your weeks, but it's just your best eight out of the season for your points. And obviously the higher number there would win that contest. We give away some goodies. We got some koozies. I think we still got some koozies, right, Wal, sitting back there in the stock storage.
Yeah, we still got some until they run out. We're going to give them out to the winner, although we're gonna have to talk to Walrus and ask him if we can just, like, divvy him up and mail him a box at the end of the season because, man, he's just been dominating that league, Woj.
Yeah, he has. But this week, we're going to do the DraftKings 14-game main slate on Saturday. It will be the first week that counts, so make sure you're nice and ready to go with this week's action, Wal.
Agreed. I'll be ready to go, Woj. I'll have my lineup set. I'll be ready to crush you this week. Better than last week, hopefully.
All right. It was week zero last week, a little appetizer week, Wal. I don't want to get too much into it because there's so much this week going on, but what was your takeaway from week zero? I know what mine was, and it included the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Oh, you're talking about that first game of the season? I didn't happen to catch that one, Woj, you know?
Yeah, over in Dublin, Ireland over there.
No, of course I caught it. Of course I caught it. 42-3, Notre Dame just blew them out. I mean, Notre Dame, it's tough to say if Navy just wasn't that good of a football team or Notre Dame was a really good football team. I'm going to go with the latter because they just dominated an offense, could not be stopped. One of our friends messaged us like, oh, Navy stopped them. It was actually a missed field goal by Notre Dame. But, hey, he was right because that was a win for Navy in that book. Notre Dame, just a phenomenal-looking football team in that game. We'll see what they do against other competition, but that's a team to watch out for.
Yeah, definitely. But I would want to get into this week because it's so exciting. There's games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. What a great week of football. We got some marquee games. First one off the bat is Thursday game, while Thursday night at 7 p.m. on ESPN, and that's Florida at number 14 Utah. We kind of teased talking about this game during our conference preview episodes. But, yeah, this is going to be a cool start to the season.
Oh, it absolutely will be. And if you remember opening day last year, Woj, we're all watching the games together. And in my opinion, this was the best game to watch. The most thrilling game came down to the end. Florida did pull it out. The difference this year, they won by a field goal. The difference this year, though, is, you know, Florida's got to go out west. They got to go to Utah, play at Utah. I really don't like their chances in this one. If you're looking at the boards right now, I'm looking at sportsbettingintel.com this week in college football. Well, you got to check this out. This is so sick. But I'm looking at all the games that show me the best lines for all the games. Best line for this Utah game right now is on Caesars at -4.5. If you want that +4.5 number, you can also get it there on Caesars or most of the other books. They're all pretty much the same, but -198 for Utah, Woj. They're expecting that Utah wins this game, wins it by more than a field goal, which, hey, that's some respect from the bookmakers.
And that's, well, I guess you're taking that in real time, right?
Yeah, near real time anyways. It's
Pete Thamel, I think about an hour or 2 hours ago, did come out and say that Cam Rising is likely not going to play. So he was questionable. Now he's likely not going to play. I don't know if anybody remembers, but he is the quarterback for Utah, tore his ACL in the Rose Bowl last year. They did win the Rose Bowl under Bryson Bane or Barnes. And he played pretty well. He threw actually the go-ahead touchdown at the end of the game there. But with that, Cameron Rising out, that's a big loss to a Utah team that was looking to reclaim that Pac-12's last season of the Pac-12 and win it. They do have Nate Johnson too, which is another quarterback, which is an option, but I think he's more of like just an option kind of runner quarterback. He's not really the passing quarterback. And Kyle Whittingham did say, quotations, that Nate Johnson will see the field no matter what. If Cameron Rising's in the game or Bryson Barnes is in the game, he's going to see the field at some point. So I imagine that's just probably like an option play or something like that. I would imagine Barnes gets the nod, especially if Cameron Rising can't go well.
Yeah, I don't think Cameron Rising's going to play this game, Woj, to be honest with you. I was watching the lines. I'm always on SBI there. Last night I was watching the lines. They had lines immediately out for Cameron Rising on player props, and then the books quickly took them down. It might have been that Pete Thamel news that you told us about. But to be honest with you, the market was already expecting, I believe, that Mr. Rising was not going to play anyways. I'm looking at the line movement on the game. It looks like they were at -305 last Friday. They did get bet down a little bit to that -210 number, which that's probably where the news is. The books are adjusting because of that news, because Mr. Rising is a great player. But nonetheless, I still think Utah gets this done. I think Utah covers that spread too.
Yeah, there's questions on the other side there, Wall, and you haven't said his name yet, but Graham Mertz from Wisconsin is now the quarterback at Florida. 38 TDs, 26 interceptions, and 59% passer. Coming from a school that's known for running the ball, they aren't anymore, but we'll get to that at some other time. But our numbers aren't great. He started really strong. I remember that game he started against, I think it was Illinois, and he scored like 5 touchdowns in the game, or passed for 6 or 5 touchdowns, but he didn't really do much after that. And Mertz has been a struggle since, really, to say it politely. Utah's front 7 are all back on defense, and that's a team that finished 5th in FBS last year on third downs. And I think third down completions is one of those stats that is just so good, especially in college football. That's how you can tell the good teams are the bad teams. 51.1% at stopping third downs, which is awesome. I think Utah is more seasoned going into this game than they were last time they played Florida last year. I think Utah easily gets this done. I think they're, even with Bryson Barnes in there and Cameron Rising out, I think they just have too much on defense for Florida to get anything done. I don't believe in the Mertz passing, but hey, change of scenery. Maybe I could be wrong, Wall.
Hey, I believe in the Mertz passing. I'm actually looking at his player props right now. SBI has him somewhere between 168.5 and 182.5 passing yards in that game. I think he goes over that number. So I'll probably be looking to bet his player prop over, because I think Mr. Mertz gets it done. You mentioned Wisconsin, you know, they're not a team a great quarterback wants to go to generally. So I think maybe this transition will help him a little more of a passing offense over there in Florida.
Okay. Let's see what your guy is going to be cost you on DraftKings. It's 7,600 for Graham Mertzwall. Oof. Looks like DraftKings got the update on Barnes there. He's 8,100. So that's going to be a pricey pickup for the backup quarterback. Essentially, Cam Rising was 10,300, but obviously he is doubtful now. So, yep. ETN is probably your best pickup there on Florida, the running back at 5,000. That's actually a pretty good deal for ETN, in my opinion. But we'll move on. We got other games to talk about. Probably the most exciting game, an electrifying game of all the weekend. And that would be Utah State travel into the pink locker rooms at Kinnick Stadium to play the number 25 Iowa Hawkeyes at 11 a.m. on Fox Sports 1 while on Saturday.
Hey, Woj, I love it. I'm excited for it. We're going to see what our Hawkeyes can do this year. You know, if people didn't know before your little intro there that we were Iowa Hawkeye fans, they do now. But being the most exciting game in the nation, because there's a lot of people in the nation that are disagreeing with you. But I do think Iowa's going to pick up that offense this year. It has a lot to do with the contract incentives for Mr. Brian Ferentz over there. They revised his contract. Essentially, he needs to score points in order to make money, which that can incentivize a coach, in my opinion. And then who's the only man that can stop him from making those play calls? Well, it happens to be his dad, you know, Kirk Ferentz. So I think he's going to give his son the benefit of the doubt. I think they're going to get the green light on a lot of plays. I think they're going to be going over the top. Whether they make it, that remains to be seen, but I think they're going to be trying for it. So be looking those over-unders. A lot of the algorithms, a lot of the sports books, they're going to have these numbers low, because if you go back to last year, on paper, and if you watch the games, Iowa's offense did not look so good, but I think we get a change this year. If you're looking at the over-under and the total points in this game, it's sitting at 43 right now. The point spread, they're saying, hey, Iowa's going to come up. They're going to come in. They're going to show up. They're going to crush Utah State. Sitting minus 23 and a half now for the Hawkeyes. Which, have you seen our Hawkeyes at that minus 23 and a half number in a while?
No.
No, sir.
No, sir. That is a new one for me. Go Hawkeyes. This comes down to the Cade McNamara story coming over from Michigan, trying to rebound a team which has had quarterback awfulness. But I don't think it's all the quarterback. I mean, most of it is. But our offensive coordinator, Brian Ferentz, hasn't really, in my opinion, given them at least the chance to do that. But there's a new drive this year, Wall, and I'm sure you've heard about this drive. I'm not sure if our fans have, but the drive for 325. Have you heard that number before, Wall?
325, what is that, like passing yards in the season for our quarterback?
That's what it should be, but no, it's the drive for 325 offensive, not defensive, offensive points on the season. Okay. Yeah. Something that if you were an Iowa Hawkeye fan, you'd bet the under right now. Well, I guess really anybody in the nation would bet the under on that pretty easily if there was a prop for it. But yeah, there's a stipulation in the contract where he gets paid more money when they do better. And his goal at the beginning of the season that he set was 325 offensive points in the year. It's going to be tough, but a couple of key notes in the game. Utah State gives up 31.2 points per game, so that's a good start to that 325. You can chunk it out right there. Let's opponents score on 9 out of 10 times when inside the 20, which was ranked 129th in last year in that metric. And 35 kids have transferred out of the program since the end of last season. That's a rough turnaround there, Wall. I guess that's what you kind of got to deal with when you're the Utah States of the college football landscape, right?
Yeah, it happens. I mean, that's something that every school is going to have to deal with. Now it's so easy for kids to transfer and just become immediately eligible, whereas before they always had to weigh the option of sitting out a year when they transfer. So yes, Utah State, teams like that, they have a difficult time with it. But we lose players, a team like Iowa Hawkeyes, we lose players too to those upper echelon programs. So, you know, it all kind of shifts through.
Yeah, and Iowa's defense, on the other hand, is probably one of the best defenses in college football. I shouldn't say probably, is one of the best defenses in college football. Mm-hmm. Cooper DeJean, cornerback, amazing. Quinn Schulte, the safety, awesome. Logan Lee, Joe Evans, the defensive line's amazing. On the special teams, they bring back the Heisman candidate, Torrey Taylor, as their punter. What a player.
What a player, Woj. You said it well. You know, I'd like to meet the man that has bad things to say about Torrey, because he can hammer the ball, let me tell you.
Hey, I don't know anything about Utah State's punter, but Kurt in a I watched his presser before this game, and he said Utah State has a good punter. That was his key thoughts on Utah State. So, hey, I guess they got a good punter too. But another cool thing, Wal, that I know you know this, but a lot of the fans might, but since 2009, the Children's Memorial Hospital, they do the wave and all that, but they also do something else called a kid captain for the game. And the kid captain's pretty cool. They get to be the captain for the game, that home game, and they pick one for every single home game. They've been doing this since 2009. Gracelyn Springer, who's 10, from Alburnett, Iowa, will be the kid captain for this game. She endured an extremely rare cancer, but is now in remission, which is good news. So it's just cool to hear those cool stories and good time stories. I know Iowa does a lot with the Children's Memorial Hospital, and that's awesome to hear.
Absolutely. It's one of the greatest traditions. It is absolutely the greatest tradition in college football since it started. You quoted 2009. I thought it was a little after that, but you'd know better than I probably with the exact year it started. It is what makes Iowa football, and it's what, in my opinion, should help other people understand, like, hey, football programs can do things like this and make a change for the good. Iowa's trying. You got to love it. You got to respect it. Go Hawks.
This game is on the slate, Wall.
What slate?
I don't know. On the, are you talking the DFS slate? Yes. So if you want to pick up some cheap players, hey, look at this game. The implied points scored for Utah State's 9.75. So that's a little rough on that side if you really want to dig in there. Their highest salary guy is their quarterback at $5,900 in Legas there. And then Iowa's implied is 33.25, which is some points. So you could technically get somebody here. The problem is running back by committee. But I think Caleb Johnson is going to be the bulk of the running there. That's he's 5,700. Cade McNamara is probable, but he is likely going to pay. He's been cleared, and I hope he does, because Joey Labus is also probable, likely not going to play. So then we're going to move to a new guy, and we don't want that same wagon wheel turning again.
Think Petras is third on the depth chart, actually. I think it'll move to Peaches.
Are you sure he's even eligible? I thought he was just a player coach now.
No, he's a player coach. He's eligible, though. He still has his last year of eligibility because of COVID. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I think as of right now, he's in third on the depth chart. I can't say for sure. I can look it up here, but
that is the last thing we need. So, but then you're going to move down to Caleb Brown, which is the transfer from Ohio State, who is marked as one of our wide receivers at 5,400, but I would like to look at Noah Reganey. He's a good player, Wall, and we've seen Iowa wide receivers leave Iowa and become great wide receivers. Purdue last year. So Noah Reganey is a good wide receiver. I think with the proper quarterback at 4,300, that is a decent play in my mind, even though they're 33.25. They're obviously going to do some sort of air and out. They're not going to run the ball the whole time. I think this push for 325 is legit, but we're going to find out, I guess, when we watch them on Saturday. But hey, Noah Graney might be a play there at 4,300 if you need someone cheap on your roster and you want to give him a little whirl. Well,
I love it. Somebody they relied on last year on that crucial third down situation. You know, when you got to go to a guy, he was the guy. So I like that pick, Woj.
All right, moving on to the only two-ranked team playing on this whole opener here, which is LSU, number 5 LSU, at number 8 Florida State, 6:30 p.m. ABC, and this game is on Sunday, Wall.
It's a Sunday game. God has blessed us, Woj. Woo! Let me tell you, Sunday the Sabbath, no longer we get some football. I'm excited for it. LSU is the favorite in this one. -2.5, though, you don't get that full field goal if you want Florida State over there. You're only getting that 2.5 number. +120 for Florida State on the money line. LSU -140. We're looking at a total of over 56. That implies, well, let me tell you here, the money line implies a 58% chance that LSU is going to win this game, Woj.
Yeah. As far as draft, I'll just go DraftKings to start this off. There's only three games on the slate, and one of them is Rutgers and the Northwestern. So we're just going to forget about that one. So it's two game slate. So you're going to have somebody from this game on your roster in order to win. There's options, Jaden Daniels, Jordan Travis, obviously the quarterbacks. You have Malik Nabbers. You got Keenan Coleman, who's supposed to be the big shot in town possibly coming up. But I honestly don't think Johnny Wilson is still a little bit better and a little bit more veteran than Coleman, who's both of those are wide receivers for Florida State, but I'll get into that in a minute. But LSU is going to be playing without Mason Smith. I don't know if you know who Mason Smith is. Well, I'm sure you do, but a lot of our listeners might. But he's a defensive tackle edge rusher who's going to be in the first round in the draft next year. He received payment, I don't know what kind of payment, for a pre-NIL era autograph months before NIL was implemented. Just months. This has happened before, and they allowed the corporate to pick the game they were going to be suspended for. In this case, they did not. Mason Smith was hurt the entirety of last year, so he didn't play much, and they said, you're not playing your first game, which is probably one of their bigger games of the year, considering Florida State did beat them last year, Wall, and that they got that sting in their mouth. Even though LSU did win the West and the SEC, they'd still left that sting in their mouth to start the season against Florida State. That doesn't help. They want to beat them this year, but kind of a shitty thing that had happened to Mason Smith, one of the better players on the team. They still have a beast up front with Harold Perkins, 7.5 sacks, 13 tackles for loss last year. Those are big numbers. Considering those numbers on any other team in college football would be amazing. There's still one guy better than him and Mason Smith. That's scary, Wall.
No, it is scary, but, you know, that's a team that's going to win football games. I think because of their defense, so you kind of expect that they have some depth over there at defense. If I was one of those big hog mollies, you know, that's probably a team I want to go play for. So it makes sense that they have that depth there.
Yeah. LSU will also be without running back John Emery, but that's not a big deal. They did get Penn State transfer Noah Kane. They still have Josh Williams. So I don't see a big problem there. But let's be honest, Wall, the big running back on the team here for LSU is Jaden Daniels, who still has Malik Nabbers if he does want to end up throwing it. I mean, there's so many, all these people I'm talking about right now are all possible first round draft picks. Like, they're a good team, and they're going to be a good team. And I know there's all this hype about Florida State, and yeah, Jordan Travis is pretty good, but they pick up Keenan Coleman, and everybody keeps keen in on Keenan Coleman, and they're going to make him their number one wide receiver from Michigan State. And I don't think Keenan Coleman is that good. And I don't think Jordan Travis is all that great either. They're definitely not LSU level. I see the game going a little different than it went last year. Well, I feel like LSU's got a huge edge here.
I don't know about huge edge, but I do think that the game's going to be different than last year. Although we should clarify and say that, you know, it was a 1-point game.
I understand, but they still got beat. And Florida State at the time was not a number 8 ranked team going into that game. You know what I mean? I think they were unranked at that point. So
they were a 3-point dog in that game. Yeah. They ended up winning it straight up, like we mentioned, but they were Florida State was a 3-point dog going into that game.
But LSU turned out fine. They ended up winning the West, going to play Georgia in the championship game. But again, I just you name all those key figures, even with Mason Smith out of the picture, they're still a great football team. So look for LSU to do some special things, I think, this year, and really compete with Alabama again in the West. Well,
and I like the point you already brought up, Mr. Nabbers, but I like him. I was very angry with our year-long fantasy draft. We do year-long fantasy draft. We'll talk about it here on the podcast. We call it the Scrapbook Classic. We've been going for decades. We're going hard for decades. I was a bit disappointed. It's a keeper league we have. Somehow, I think the commissioner screwed me, Woj. That's what I'm going to live by. But
you
somehow,
are the commissioner.
Hey, don't. It's not important right now. Everybody else blames the commissioner for everything. I can blame the commissioner for some stuff too. I thought I kept Malik Nabbers, but I ended up keeping somebody else. I think a Dunze from Washington or whoever that is. But I didn't keep Neighbors because of a technical glitch. I'm rather angry about it because, you know, that wide receiver over there, he's going to put up some numbers this year. He's going to get some yards. He's going to get some touchdowns. He really is a spectacular player to watch. Watch him go high in the NFL draft.
Yeah, as far as DraftKings goes here, I know we talked a little bit about it, and you're going to have to get somebody from this team. But Josh Williams or Jaden Williams. Right. Is it Jaden Williams or Josh? I'm mixing my words up here. It is Josh Williams. Okay, I was right the first time. Josh Williams is likely going to be get a bulk of these carries with guys in front of him hurt. And he's right now only 5,600 for cheap. I understand Jaden Daniels is on the team. If you take Jaden Daniels, I wouldn't take this pick. But if you don't take Jaden Daniels, I would definitely take Josh Williams. For a middle of the road running back price there. So someone that could light it up. I would definitely take Josh Williams there. On the other side, we talked about Keenan Coleman, and I'm not fully with that pick. I think Johnny Wilson's a little bit better. DraftKings would agree with me. He's 500 more at 6,500. I do like that pick a lot better. Especially if they're trailing early, they got to start passing the ball and Jordan Travis. But I would love to take Johnny Wilson over Coleman, but maybe somebody like Coleman at 600, maybe it fits your budget a little bit better.
You can't ask me if you're trying to pin the question. I mean, I have no idea. Normally I just listen to what you say in the podcast, and that's how I fill out my team over there on DraftKings.
All right. Well, yeah, that's why I got to keep my picks on the down low.
No, that's your crux. That's the problem you have is I get all your picks.
All right, last game we're going to talk about. This game, we're going back to Saturday now. This game is on Saturday. It's the number 21, North Carolina versus South Carolina, 6:30 p.m. ABC wall. Is there going to be some redemption this year?
North Carolina versus South Carolina? You think they're big rivals, Woj? Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about?
No, not big rivals at all, no.
Because I don't believe they played last year, unless I'm mistaken. Was pretty up on North Carolina's schedule. I think North Carolina, you know, maybe they come back with a better year, if that's what you're talking about as far as redemption. They are favored in this game over. We got to remember, this is an ACC team going up against the SEC. Again, we're talking probably top five tier in the ACC versus top, you know, bottom three tier in the SEC. But nonetheless, we were talking about ACC versus SEC. North Carolina with that two and a half, minus 130 on the money line. Woj, we got a total over here of over under of 26.
Whew. Over under of 26.
I was just guessing if you're listening, buddy.
I was
that's
like,
all.
What? Are we in the Big Ten? Did we get transferred to the Big Ten somehow?
No, neither
of these teams have defense. What are you talking about?
No, we're talking about an over under of 64.5. I was just making sure you're paying attention, buddy. Also, it's a little jab against what I think your pick might be for the game. But nonetheless, we're talking about a North Carolina team that is favored to win. Mac Brown, you know that's a coach I highly respect. You're at a 56% probability that they take down the Gamecocks. Gamecocks, not a team that I know a whole lot about. I know with North Carolina, though, it relies on Drake Maye. I'm kind of curious to see if you mention him as far as somebody for DFS. Ooh. Is this game on the slate?
It is on the night slate. Yes, not on the main slate. But
it's not on a 14-game slate?
No, because it's later in the day. It's too late. But what I was referring to in redemption is South Carolina beat North Carolina in 2001 in the Duke's Mayo Bowl when they met.
Oh,
it's kind of cool that they, I don't know if you remember when they met in the bowl game, it was kind of cool because North Carolina versus South Carolina, but they beat them 38-21. Sam Howell for 205 that game, but yeah, it is what it is.
I do remember now you're saying they're like a 10-point favorite, I believe, at the time, which I don't remember the game. I remember the spread though.
I'm actually looking here too. I don't see them on the night slate either. Oh no, they are in the night slate. Okay, so we are on here. We do have and Drake Maye, surprise, surprise, probably the priciest guy, $10,100.
There you go. Hey,
yikes. On the other side, you got Spencer Rattler at 8,800. And that's really what the battle is. It's a Spencer Rattler versus Drake Maye battle here. What does Drake Maye do with the losses of Josh Downs and Tony Green, their two wide receivers that went to the NFL? Well, when they were hurt last year, those guys did get hurt at times. Kobe Pesor and JJ Jones stepped in During the times that those guys were on the field, they combined for 758 and six TDs. So they do have some help there. It's not like they're lost without anybody. They did get some transfer portal help too. They got Devontae's. I don't know how you even say that name, but Walker from Kent State, 58 receptions for 921 yards, 11 TDs last year for Kent State, and Nate McCollum from Georgia Tech, who had 60 receptions for 655 yards and three TDs from a Georgia Tech scheme that doesn't necessarily pass the ball that much. So how I see it is it's going to be Walker, Jones, and Pesor are going to be your starters here. I think Walker is going to be a really good addition for him. He's a big guy. I think Drake May is really just going to end up at the end of the day finding his receiver. And I think that's for anybody that plays DFS is you really want to key in on that this week and then just pick him up for the rest of the season, because it's going to take DraftKings some time, I think, unless he really just like throws everything to Walker or something this game. But as far as the salaries go, you're looking at McCollum being the number one, or no, excuse me, Walker being number one, McCollum being number two, JJ Jones number three. I think Pesor is really solid pick at 5K. I don't think he's that bad. I know JJ Jones could be a breakout and he's only $500 more, but Pesor is pretty cheap if you need to put somebody in there. But again, I think we need to wait to kind of see what Drake May settles into there. On the other side of this, you got Spencer Rattler, Wall, who ended the season beating Tennessee, who was one of the top teams in the nation, and then beating Clemson on the road, and no one beats Clemson on the road, Wall. Well, I mean, they finished strong.
Well, they didn't just beat them, if I'm right, I believe they crushed them. They beat them by like 30 or something, Woj. It was incredible how they just...
Tennessee was a close game, but I remember the Clemson, they beat them.
Yeah, no, I'm talking, yeah, speaking of the Clemson game, yeah, obviously. Let me check the score for you. No, they beat them by 20. That was close. 29 they beat them by. So not quite that 30 number, Woj, but I was right there. They beat them by almost 30. It's something that you don't expect that ever to happen, especially, you know, I don't know that it was I thought it was a neutral field game, Woj. It was, if I'm not mistaken, it was a neutral field game. But regardless, they beat them in a game that they shouldn't have won that many by, and they were actually the underdog going into that game. So I'm excited to see what North Carolina brings this year. Right now, if we're looking at the rankings, they're sitting at number 21 ranked team in the nation, and that's good. They haven't been ranked that high since 1997, if Mr. Bill Steele is correct over here. He said they haven't been ranked that high since 1997, which, you know, hey, we got Mack Brown over there. We got a program that just, we mentioned how they beat a top-tier program, just crush them at the end of the year. They're on an upward slope. We'll see if they can take down an SEC team week one of the season. I'm really excited to watch this football game. Would you know I'm going to be sitting in my TV watching this game at 6:30.
I'm surprised you're excited to watch this, because you're usually excited to watch good defenses. And let me tell you what, neither of these teams own one. I don't think they know what the word defense means. They are an offensive firepower. And I think, so here's the thing. So North Carolina's secondary has been terrible, but I think the thing about it is the teams that they play have to air it out like every single time to try to catch up and to try to keep up with North Carolina. So yeah, when 100% of the plays come by as passing plays, sometimes you're going to get beat. So that's my theory, at least, and why North Carolina's defense is so bad. But yeah, not very good. I think the over-under is what, sitting at 60-something, 65-ish, Wall?
Well, I mentioned it. Well, do you remember I was telling you that joke and you didn't get it? It was at 64 and a half. You were close there.
Yeah, I do remember the 23. I got in my head as 23 now. It's terrible.
Yeah, I know. But, hopefully our fans don't see.
Yeah, no. I think our fans are a little bit more, they're a little smarter than that.
A little smarter than us.
Not a 23, but Bank of America Stadium is where this game is going to be held, which is a neutral field, kind of. It's in North Carolina, about 20 miles from the border, but that's where the Carolina Panthers play. So it's semi-neutral field. I don't know if you can call it a neutral field. It's in the home state of the people that are playing, but it is what it is.
Well, they're both Carolina, so
yeah, I guess, yeah, and just take the line out of there, just come join them. But yeah, interesting game. Excited for that. Well, before we get into anything else, I do want to talk about Woj and Wall Pick'em, because it has to do with this game, and I am taking, where I'm gonna get right into it. Well, I'm not doing any side bets here. I'm taking
Woj, hold on.
Okay, go.
You got to wait till the end of the episode, where people are just gonna—they're not gonna listen to the rest of what we have to say, because you know they only listen to it for the Woj and Will Pickham. Are you signing off?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this, though.
Well, you hold in your excitement, because we got more stuff to talk about. You know what the people need, Woj? They need a little. Well, they need a lot of things. They need to get some better uses of their time if they're listening to us over here. That's the first thing I'll say. But the second thing I'll say is they need a little DFS help. They need a couple tips
tidbits. Normally, Woj just got some tidbits. Here. Here's the tidbit. Quarterbacks are expensive this week, so find one that isn't. And I did. So TCU is a good team, right, Wal?
TCU is a good football team. I don't respect them betting wise, but yeah, they're a good football team.
But like we're talking, they could compete for a championship, right? Or at least in the Big 12. So
yeah,
so they could reclaim the Big 12 spot, but they don't have a place in the college football playoff. Is what you're saying?
That's absolutely what I'm saying. Did you not watch the football game last year?
Yes.
Did you happen to miss the national championship? Because I think that kind of answered itself.
They're playing Colorado, Wal. And while I keep talking about this, if you could look up the over-under on that from SBI, 63.5.
Yeah, easy. I got it by memory. But I'll look it up at SBI just to make sure I'm not wrong.
So like 40-something implied points for TCU, 20-something. They're playing Colorado, which is Deion Sanders' new dog over there, right? So one of your options here at quarterback is going to come from this game, because all of the rest cost way too much. You have Bo Nix coming in at a number I have never seen before at 10,300. I think it's 10,000, might even be higher than that. 10,300. You have Joe Milton from Tennessee, and I get it's a product of the program, but we've seen Joe Milton at Tennessee and he hasn't done anything. He's at 8,700. Here's your thing. TCU quarterbacks have been really good in the past. Max Duggan has been really good. Well, Max Duggan relieved Chandler Morris when he got hurt, and obviously they never looked back. Chandler Morris is only 6,900 for a team that's slated to score 40-plus points, Wal, on the board. Not sure why that's there, but we're going to take Chandler Morris this weekend, everybody. Please, thank you, and we'll move on. Don't take Bo Nix, take Chandler Morris. The other option in that game, obviously, is if you really believe in Deion Sanders and you want to believe in his kid, take his kid at 7,000, who runs the ball a lot, which is could be really good for DFS and could really screw with better teams, but I believe they're still a little outmatched in this game. Would you not agree with me there, Wal?
No, I'd agree with you there, Woj. I think you're right on that aspect.
The other guy I really wanted to key in on here, let me pull up his numbers if you give me just a second. That would be Texas's wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, who is one of the better wide receivers in the country, in my opinion, at 6,600. And I believe Quinn Ewers, who's only 7,700, by the way, is going to light it up, and I believe a lot of that's going to be the Worthy. He was dominant last year. He's going to be dominant again this year. A lot of targets, a lot of points just from targets. So I love the Worthy play there. I would totally hug that and wrap it up in a gift bag, Wal.
Well, I can't speak to Chandler Morris. I mean, Xavier Worthy, you're right on. Quinn Ewers, he has to perform this year. He's got Mr. Manning nipping at his heels, Woj, if he doesn't perform.
He wants to go to the NFL too, Wal.
Well, yeah, but that's second
tier. Yeah, Mr. Manning. Right now.
He's got to worry about keeping his starting
Archie's
job.
Archie's kid over there. Not Archie. Who's Eli's
They're
brother?
All their kids. It's the grandkids. Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah. Okay,
they're all the same bloodline. But, you know, that means they all have the same talent line too. So you don't want to let him in the game, because once he gets in the game, he's going to take over your starting job. And then you might lose your aspirations there. You mentioned NFL aspirations. You got to perform or you lose those aspirations. I really like that Xavier Worthy pick because of that fact. Chandler Morris, I'm glad I put you on the spot, because now I can put him on my team. Get all those free points, essentially, or cheap points, I should say. They're not free, but points.
Well, here's another one for Chandler Morris. His over-under, Chandler Morris likes to run the ball a little bit too. His over-under on just a 0.5 touchdown in the player prop. I'm looking at SBI's board right now with player props. It's awesome. If you go to SBI, NCAA, and then college football this week, you can kind of look through all the player props, and it's sweet. But on FanDuel, you can get plus 170. Guy's going to score a touchdown, Wal, especially against Colorado. And again, Colorado, I think, is an improved team. Not that improved, though, where Morris is not going to get a touchdown.
Yeah, I like that you brought that up, which I'm actually pulling it up as we're speaking. And looks like he has, He has a 1.5 over under touchdown at plus 1100, which for two touchdowns, essentially that means he's going to get two touchdowns. That's not too bad in mental math. It's somewhere around 9%, 8-9% probability that he gets two touchdowns. So, I mean, I like that too, but that over a half touchdown, Woj, chalk it up, huh?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, he's okay. He hasn't scored that many in his career. I'm counting him three, but again, he hasn't played that many games in his career. But when he did play, he likes to run the ball a little bit. And it's TCU. I guess it's like Joe Morris. It's a product of the team and the situation and the way they run football. Yeah, and what they do and how they play football. So I would expect him to get a bulk of the shares in the ground and kind of scrambling around and doing what he needs to do, especially early on in the season when he's just trying to get his feet. He's literally going to have to use his feet to move around and get comfortable. So I do like that play. Please, not everybody in the league pick Chandler Morris as your quarterback. Let's not have 100% owned on that.
I think you might get that, Woj. I think you might get that. Again, that's your poison. That's your poison pill. You don't have anything you can do about that.
All right, Woj and Wall pick him. We didn't do so good in our practice week, Wall. We're not even going to talk about it. We're going to forget that. It's in the blinders behind us. It's in the rearview mirror. This week, Wall, I'm going right off the bat. I'm North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm taking the 31.5 over in the second half. I think it's going to be a slow start, and I think it's going to be a fireworks ending.
I don't disagree with you. I kind of like that pick. You kind of mentioned, you didn't tell me for sure what you're going to pick. We don't usually do that, but you kind of mentioned you were looking at it. And the reason I like this pick is we got such a close spread on this under a field goal. I believe it was 2.5 spread on this. What you could always get is overtime in these games. If you get overtime, that second half over on most sports books, make sure you check your specific sports book. I believe you were going off of DraftKings, right, Woj? That's where you found this number at?
Yeah, DraftKings.
Okay, DraftKings gives you that overtime that counts as the second half total points. So you also have that possibility. You know, if they go in overtime, you're looking pretty good with that over. So I like your pick, Woj. I'm glad we're not talking about last week about the team that I picked minus points and they ended up losing it straight up. We're not going to talk about that. I love it, Woj. We got the memory of Goldfish over here at the rundown. Ooh. Let me tell you, Coastal Carolina is my pick this week, Woj, plus 14.5. I'm really coming. I'm coming this year. I'm picking dogs. They're going to take down USC, LA, potentially take them down. I don't need them to for this pick. I just need them to cover those two touchdowns. I'm liking it too, Woj.
Who did New Mexico play again? I can't.
Woj, you said we weren't going to talk about it.
It was UMass,
for the record, I didn't pick New Mexico.
They had
for the record. I did not pick New Mexico for the record.
I know New Mexico State. So
you got it.
Well, at least you didn't pick UMass, but UMass did win. I can't remember the kid's name. He transferred from Clemson, but he lit up that game. He was like the
No,
there was another Clemson player that transferred to UMass that just was lighting it up that game. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I mean, that's why you lost it. I mean, it was just one player. I mean, one player can make or break those type of games. And I think that's what ended up happening there. But we won't talk about it again. I won't say anything more about that. I mean, I'll talk about mine. USC definitely did not go cover an 18-point spread in the first half when they let the other team, who had no right scoring 14 points in the second quarter, score 14 points. So, yeah, well, we won't talk about that. USC did win the game, but, man, their defense started lacklustre.
Hey, in my book, Woj, we're both 0-0 on the season. We're starting up. This week we're starting
it's
up.
New.
And, again, we're goldfish, Woj. We're goldfish, so let's forget about it.
All right. Hey, Rundown Nation, thank you for listening. Enjoy the overload of college football between Thursday and Monday here, and enjoy every bit of it. Watch new teams. Hey, we didn't even talk about the game. One of the most exciting games I'm going to watch is Wisconsin. I want to see Luke Fickell's spread offense. The spread offense hasn't worked in the past in the West Division of the Big Ten, Wall. And I get it. We're not going to divisions next year, but it hasn't worked before. Do you think it's going to work this time?
I think it'll work against Buffalo, you know, 28 point favorites. I think maybe they get it done against Buffalo. Yeah. I don't know about Iowa when they play a defense like Iowa, or I don't know if they play Penn State this year, but you play a defense like that, you know, that's a tough thing to see, but it'll be interesting to see nonetheless. And I'm real excited for it. I'm real excited for college football week one, which this is the most exciting time of the year. You know, Santa's coming. Christmas is coming. Get ready. I've been living on our partners over there. Check them out. SportsBettingIntel.com. They get a bunch of new college football stuff. I've been living on that site, just waiting for the games to start. Just waiting.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go college football. Rundown Nation, thanks for listening to our episode. You can catch all of our podcasts and information on www.collegefootballrundown.com. We have upcoming games. We have SBI information on there. They're a big partner sponsor with us. If you want to sign up to their website, please use code RUNDOWN when you do that. It helps us out. It helps them out as well. But so much good information on that website. So please check them out. Please check our website out. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram is college_football_rundown. Please take a look, take some time. We do our weekly DraftKings League, so make sure to get in on that. All the information for that is on our website. Other than that, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wall.
And we are now definitely out. Thank you for listening.